Well, we're going to go ahead and get started here as people filter in from the coffee bar to come in to hear and respond to a message from God's Word. And today we're going to be doing something that we began last year. Last year, this time in January, we started something we called Vision Sunday, which is a Sunday that we set aside to talk a bit about our vision. Mainly, who it is that God has made us, this family of families, the Church of God of Exeter, into. What He is doing amongst us, where He is taking us as a family, and why. You probably don't recall too much about this either, but 2024 was a year of driving onward into vision, which we started with this particular theme Sunday, Vision Sunday. In 2025, if you looked at your annual reports, it's a year of digging into all that God has given us, the ground that we have broken, to take things even further, to continue to drive and dig into this vision. And 2025 is a year where we will be continuing where we left off last year, pushing onward into being who God has made us to be, doing what He has created us to do, going where He's called us to go. To start this off last year, though, we asked a question. There was a very important question we had last year at the beginning of 2024. Does anybody happen to remember what that question was? I mean, we're talking last year. I don't remember what happened last week, yes, alone last year, so don't feel bad. But does anybody know? Here's a hint. It had to do with Moses and a burning bush. It had to do with Moses and a burning bush. Second hint. It involved a stick that was in Moses' hand. Does anybody know the question yet? God asked it to Moses. What is in... Oh, it was in the worship folder. Oops. But what is in your hand? And ding, circle gets a square for those like myself who like those old-time game shows. The question is, what is in your hand? Something that we see in Exodus 4, verses 2 through 3. The Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? He said, a staff. And he said, being God said, throw it on the ground. So he threw it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses ran from it. And as I said last year this time, that Moses was a wise guy. I'm telling you, if a serpent appeared out of a staff, I would run too. That's the only right response there. The thing is, God asked Moses what was in his hand. Moses said, a stick. There's a stick in my hand. Moses saw a stick, but God sees the instrument that Moses would use as a sign of his power and might. What has God put into your hand? That was a question we asked last year in 2024. And it's a question that we're going to continue to ask this year in 2025. What is it in your hand that you see just a stick? It's nothing but a stick. But God is going to use it for His purposes, His kingdom come right here in Exeter and beyond, on earth as it is in heaven. The instrument by which He will use you to show a dark, lost, and dying world the light, hope, and life of Jesus. What is in your hand? Because that is the key to us arriving to the destination that we have been given, our vision, which is to be the forerunners of the transformation of our community through the gospel of Jesus Christ, one disciple at a time, which, once again, is our destination. You don't have a vision for where you're already at. You don't hope for what you already have. It is the future destination to be the forerunners of the transformation of our community through the gospel of Jesus Christ, one disciple at a time. And we do this through the vehicle of our mission, which is to know Christ and to make Him known. the instrument that we use to get there, fueled by our core values to be in community, a family of families on mission with Jesus. And we have these statements. We have this mission statement, this vision statement, these core values. But ultimately, we know, as God's people, as God's children, the vision is Jesus, obsessively, undeniably, dangerously Jesus. It's always been Jesus. It always will be Jesus. This will never change because he is the reason we exist, the center of who we are, and he makes all the difference. It is the core of our identity as God's children. To be Jesus people, maintaining him as the subject of our existence, taking back all that hell has stolen, living in the way of Jesus, using what God has placed into our hands to do such things. Even though we may see a stick, God sees the very instrument he would use in your lives to pave the way for others to find the hope that you have, giving us gifts, experiences, and expertise, all to make him known to those around us in the manner in which he himself has made him known to us, living out our calling that was given to us by God, not from the day that the Church of God of Exeter became the Church of God of Exeter, but from the day of our very creation as people. We still live in the purpose that was given to Adam and Eve way back in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, when he created mankind. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. To be his image bearers, which is something Aida did a wonderful job communicating to us last year during one of her inspirational art classes, what it means to be an image of something, what it represents, this idea of being the reflection of God, all those wonderful synonyms that she threw out there, a duplicate. And it's not that, as some prideful, conceited teachers would say, that we become these little g gods. No, that's not what this means. But what it means is that we become signposts. We become a means of which that directs everything around us to the one true God. That's what it means to be made in his image. There's something about us that he has created in us and he is doing through us that allows other people to catch a glimpse of who he really is. And we understand this when we understand what this word image here actually means. It's the same word that's used for idol. And now we can say, idols, those are bad things. God condemns idols time and time again in the Old Testament. And yes, he does, rightfully, because to make an idol is to destroy the image that God created us to be in. In fact, it was John Piper who wrote this very profound thing about idols. Not only do images misrepresent the nature of God, but they destroy the nature of man. They turn human beings into mindless, powerless clumps of unspiritual flesh. We become like those statues. The nothingness of idols turns human beings into nothingness. Written in reflection of Psalm 115, verses 4 through 8. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of human hands. They have mouths but do not speak, eyes but do not see. They have ears but do not hear, noses but do not smell. Before we go to verse 7 and 8, just something that was just, that's always really interesting to me, it makes me laugh. You know, they have these special oils that when they would go and worship these stone statues, they would rub these special oils over the eyes, over the ears. If they want their God to hear, they would rub these special oils over the ears of their idol. And this is stuff that they would really do in the ancient world, you know, thinking that that's going to get their God to act. They have hands, but do not feel, feet, but do not walk. And they do not make a sound in their throat. Those who make them become like them. So do all who trust in them. God doesn't need an idol because God has you. He has all of us to be his image bearers, to show the world around us who he truly is, which has been the calling of his people since the very beginning. to be signposts that orient people to the real deal, to reveal to the whole creation who he is. And this has not changed. Even by the very name that we give ourselves as followers of Jesus, a name that we just recently read about in our reading plan from Acts, where the church of Antioch is growing and growing and growing, and they start calling them this derogatory term. Does anybody know what that derogatory term was in the Roman Empire? Christians. It says, and this is the first time they were called Christians. Does anybody know what it means to be a Christian? That's one way of interpreting it, yes. Christ-like, yes, but there's something about that in. Christ-in. Little Christ. They were called Christians because they were so Christ-like. They were followers of Jesus in such a way that they called them little Christ. They were living out his image. They were allowing Jesus to transform their lives in such a way there was no distinction between him and them. This has not changed. Living fully that blessing that God gave Abraham when he first called out people to be his people in Genesis 12, 1 through 3. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless you so that you will be a blessing, God says. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. This commission given to Abraham hasn't changed, but is carried on by the great commission that Jesus gives us. Since the beginning of time, this is who we are. This is who we're supposed to be. And this is what Jesus established his church to be. To be these pockets here on earth where his kingdom, his rule and reign, break through in power as it is in heaven. Being blessed to be the blessing. Being the funnel of God's blessing to the world around him, around us, as his signpost, his image bearers. Being redeemed and made holy, which is a word that just simply means to be set apart. He has set us apart. Not to completely detach and remove ourselves, but so that we can truly represent who we are supposed to represent, and that is Jesus, his image, his likeness, and to be more and more like him, which we do through knowing him. And as we grow in our knowing of him as a family of families, we go forth to make him known. And we understand that knowing him is more than just head knowledge. When we say, knowing Christ and making him known, we're not saying, okay, we're going to read the Bible over and over and over again. You know, there's benefits to that, but if you don't actually grow into an actual understanding and being transformed through that knowing of God, you can read the Bible all you want. It's futile. Because the idea here is transformation, to become more and more like Jesus so that we can make him known to the world around us. Being that funnel of God's blessings. Understanding that we are blessed with our understanding of God and the transformation he brings into our lives. The addictions and habits he helps us kick. The things that just make life better. The way it was meant to be. That life that is life abundantly. That we share. To a dark, hopelessly lost, dying world. The hope and light in life of Jesus. This is who we are as his church and as part of his greater church. And this has not changed at all since the beginning of time. We are to be forerunners as God made us, to set us on the trajectory as a particular gathering of his people right here in Exeter, to be the forerunners of the transformation of our community through the gospel of Jesus Christ. One disciple at a time. Doing this by knowing him and making him known, we are seeking to be forerunners of transformation, meaning groundbreakers, trailblazers, pathfinders of the transformation, joining with that great forerunner, John the Baptist, who said it himself, He said, I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said, using only what God gave him in his hand, which wasn't much of anything. The boy, he turns the people's attention to Jesus. How is it God's calling you to use what is right in your hand to be that voice that calls people's attention to Jesus, to be a forerunner of the transformation of our community through the gospel of Jesus Christ, one disciple at a time? And that's a very important part of our vision. One disciple at a time. Understanding we're not looking for just this mere mass gathering of transactional community, but we are seeking life-changing, radical, relational transformation through the power of Jesus, just as we have experienced it. We want others to experience it, engaging in a very deeper level to reclaim all that hell has stolen in the name of Jesus. And we've been stating this in our ministry goals and updates for the past several years now. We will grow at the speed of relationship. Because if there is no relationship, there is no growth. We aren't trying to get people to punch a get-out-of-hell-free card. We are trying to share in the life-transforming power and relationship with Jesus that he brings into our lives and into the others' lives by knowing Christ and making him known. We've been doing this and will continue to do this as it is the purpose behind our existence, using what God has put into our hands to use, being those groundbreakers, those trailblazers, the pathfinders of the transformation in our community, daring to be bold, to be different, to do what no one else is doing, something we've been seeing happening in these past several years as a family of families. In fact, inside of your worship folders, there's a little ministry report of the things we are celebrating from just last year alone. And there are wonderful things on there that we are celebrating. We will continue to celebrate as we move into this year, 2025. Last year, a way that we also did this was starting a series over the spiritual disciplines. Because the only way we can make him known is if we truly know him. And the disciplines are a means by which we put ourselves in a place where God can enact that radical change in our lives that we could share with the world around us, teaching them to obey all that he's commanded us. And so we started talking about the inward disciplines that the follower of Jesus practice and do. This year, we're going to continue that journey. And we're going to be talking about the outward disciplines, the things that we now do because of the inward transformation that has taken place. Things like giving and charity, corporate worship, mission, proclamation, evangelism, and many others that we will be exploring this next year of 2025. Continuing to dare to be bold and different. Daring to do whatever it takes for the sake and purpose of Jesus Christ. In him transforming our community in and through what he's placed already in our hand. We have a vision statement. We have a mission statement. We have value statements. But just remember, you don't need to remember any of those things. You need to remember it's Jesus, and it's always Jesus. The vision is Jesus, obsessively, undeniably, dangerously Jesus. He's the reason we exist. He makes all the difference. All the difference. As we look to one another, though, as a family of families, a part of this journey together as one family, we asked last year what was in your hand, and we're going to ask that again this year. What is in your hand? But more importantly, there's another question that needs to be asked. What have you done with what was in your hand? Have you even taken time to try to figure out what God's put into your hand? The God-given passions and desires he's placed into your heart to serve him and his kingdom purposes here on earth as it is in heaven. If you haven't asked that question, you can never ask what you're going to do with it because you don't know what it is. What is it that God has put in your hand? And what have you done with it? If you haven't done anything with it, what are you going to do with it this year? You may be unsure about that answer, but I I tell you, if you just go to the Lord and say, God, show me how it is you want to use me. All I have is this lousy stick. I pray it doesn't turn into a serpent, because that would be terrible. But one of those things where you see a stick, but he sees the instrument by which he is going to win the hearts and minds of the people around you through the gospel of Jesus Christ. As we know, there are many opportunities to do this. And we had many people take advantage of some of those opportunities last year. And we want to come alongside you as your family of families to support you, to encourage you, and to empower you for the mission that God has given you. Dream. Dream big. Nothing is off the table. Be a catalyst. A catalyst for this transformation. Become a forerunner. Think, what is it that God's put in my hand, and what would he have me do with it right here and right now? Help us help you use what's in your hand. Remember, you may see a stick, but God sees an instrument of his power and might and salvation in and through you to the world around you. Utilizing the skills, talents, and resources and opportunities you already have to serve God and others. Applying whatever is readily available to you to do good deeds and fulfill the higher purpose you have been given in Him. Even if it seems small or ordinary to you. Even if it may just be cooking a meal here and there. Let me tell you, that meal isn't small and ordinary in terms of the kingdom, because if it's done for Jesus, it has eternal consequences, wonderful, eternal significance and impact, understanding fully the promised truth about us in Christ that Paul gives us in Ephesians 2:10, that we are his workmanship, another word which translates to masterpieces. Created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. I don't know about you, but I'm ready to do those good works, those great works, and continue to do those great works together with my family of families. Continuing this year, our 114th year of mission as a family of families in Exeter. 114 years leading us to this moment, this time, for this purpose. I mean, he's been leading us for 114 years, and he is not ready to stop. And he's going to continue to use exactly what is in each and every one of our hands, as we are each and every one of us a part of this purpose that he has given us. Therefore, we will seek to know Christ more, to make him known all the more, so that we can truly become those forerunners of transformation in our city through the gospel of Jesus Christ. One disciple at a time, living in community, on mission, and with Jesus. Because once again, Jesus is the vision. Obsessively, undeniably, dangerously, Jesus. Jesus is the reason we exist. He is the center of what we do, because he makes all the difference, using what he has given us right in our hands to do this, because he has indeed given us more than enough. Because he is more than enough. There's some wonderful things coming this year to help us grow. I know that the men are talking about the next retreat, which, men, you need to be a part of that. You need to sign up as soon as we have information, because it's well worth it. It is life transforming, and this isn't just for grown men, it's for young men too. We want our youth and our children to be a part of it as well, like they were last year. And it was just beautiful to watch light bulbs just go off, not just in George, who's like 100, he says, but also Jaden, Lucas, and Mitchell, who were there as well. Sorry, I pick on you, George. I don't mean to. You just keep telling me you're 100, so I'm just playing with it. There's going to be that. The ladies are planning other activities. All the ladies groups that we've been had last year, those are continuing. And I know Aida is already planning some more inspirational art classes, which is always just so wonderful. using what God's placed into her hand. We all have things to bring to the table. Let's bring them this year. Let's continue to drive into these things and grow as Christ has called us to grow in Him, becoming more and more like Him. One family, His family. There's one word that's been hitting me for the past year about all of this. I didn't understand it until yesterday while we were doing the cleanup that we did in the shed and all the other work that, oh gosh, thank you for all of our volunteers. You guys knocked it out of the park yesterday. Beginning. It's just the beginning. And as we were organizing the shed, that word beginning had been hitting me over and over again. I'm like, God, why do I keep getting hit with this word beginning? There's a whiteboard in the mechanic room in the shed. And in that whiteboard, it says, as a question, what two books of the Bible begin with in the beginning? There it is again. You know, it's like, and I'm like, well, Genesis and John. And as I was walking out, I'm like, our story. It's just the beginning. Can we even begin to imagine what God has in store for us as we continue this journey? This is the word of the Lord. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And as our worship team comes forward to lead us in a time of reflection and response, let us just remember, it's Jesus. It's always been Jesus. Obsessively, dangerously, Jesus.